Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabham Vande Nityananda Saholitam Sri Nandanandanam Vande Radhika Charanadvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamulasaniyam Parijana Ganayukta Kridianti Pakarim Snapyati Nija Dasye Radhikamam Kadanu. It's Kartik, October 19th. The glorious Seva of Srimati Radhika. And we're discussing the 16 different services that the Mandris render to Radharani. We discussed dressing and decorating, fanning, glorifying, hiding the faults of the heroine and protecting her, and instructing and inspiring and advising Radha and Krishna about loving affairs, and offering a sakhi to Krishna, especially Radharani, for his happiness and pleasure. Krishne Sakya Samarpanam. And today we'll talk about protecting the life of the heroine. Nayaka Prana Samraksha. Raksha. Raksha. To protect. There's one, as far as Shiksha, Sakhi Shiksha, Sakhi is giving instruction to Radha or to Krishna or to some other Sakhi about a particular service. There's one example that we forgot to mention, I saw. And Ujjal Neelamani. So we can look at that. So this is another example. In Sakhi Praharan chapter 8, verse 117, is another example of Seva, Sakhi Seva Mandri Seva called Shiksha. Kurvita param adaram priyasurid varge sada priyasa kamam tasya rahasya samriti vido nirbhanda mangi kuru machetas tara sammate sakinija bishte pi kritya krita prapsyatye bhamanar galopi saharis turnam tavadinatam. Lita is giving this shiksha to Srimati Radharani. O Sakhi, you should show lots of respect and honor to Krishna's cowherd boyfriends. And you should also strictly keep your secrets. And do not press your desires, do not force your personal desires on Krishna when they conflict with his wishes. And by doing this, then you will quickly bring Krishna under your control. So this is the advice of Lita. She's giving Radharani, who is the source of Lita. Lita expands from Radharani, Kayavyuha. But here, Lalita's taking this role of the Shiksha Guru of Radharani. Everyone has Guru, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. So Vishnu Chakravarti gives a purport that this is another example, and she's just saying that Krishna's dear friends like Subha and others, you should be respectful to them. And Krishna's anargala. Anargala means not controlled by anyone, but he's controlled by Radharani's love. It's called Premvashibhut. Premvashibhut means that Radharani has the unique and special power to fully control Krishna by her love. And as we mentioned earlier, that is the force or power which controls anyone ultimately in this world. Controlling power of love is the greatest and brings out the best in another person. You can control another person by fear, by money, by duty, by law, by so many ways, intimidation. And the person will respond accordingly, but maybe not give their best. But if someone loves another person, or loves Guru, or loves Krishna, or loves husband, loves wife, that love is the greatest force and greatest power to bring the best out of everyone. So, and love fully controls everyone that's in love. So Krishna is fully controlled by Radharani's love, and Radha is fully controlled by Krishna's love, obviously. So that was just one other example of Sakhi Shiksha. Now there's a new category here of Seva we discussed today. It's Sakhi Prana Raksha, which is to protect the beloved. This is the efforts to protect the life of the Nayaka. Of course, there's no question of the heroine or Radharani or any Yukteswari dying, because protecting the life means protecting from what? If someone hires a guard or has security guards on either side of him, or chokidars or whatever, they're his protectors to protect him from the inevitable, or the greatest danger, which is, of course, death. So, this is not. There's no question of death in Krishna's leelas, but it's the ninth symptom, or rather, the eighth symptom of sattvic vikars, transformation and love. It's called pralaya. Pralaya means devastation. That means death. Pralaya, we also, in psychology and also in yoga, they talk about the partial devastation. It's called Ardha Pralaya or Purna Pralaya. At the end of Brahma's day, there's partial devastation, or the pralaya of the universe. At the end of his life, everything is annihilated. So when we take rest at night, in yoga shastras, they call that Ardha Pralaya. Because when we take rest, it's a destruction of our day's activities and destruction of all our whatever we were planning and working towards. It's called Ardha Pralaya when we take rest. It's all destroyed, and we may not wake up. And then the Purna Pralaya is when you die, finally die. So this eighth symptom of sattvic vikars in prema is called Pralaya, which means devastation, death. But in Brajadam, Premdam, Vrindavan, this is inauspicious for the lovers to die. It's not a Bollywood movie or a Hollywood movie where the last scene that the lover gets shot, or finally the lover attains to be loved after so much adventure and intrigue and chase scenes and fighting and combat and dancing, and they finally get together in the last scene and they finally meet romantically. Then the rival lover comes and breaks in the door. Boom, boom, boom. This is Kali Yuga type of love stories, tragic endings. But in this Natya Shastras and Vedic Dharma and cultured human society, the Vedic cultured society of what to speak of Krishna Leela, Madharam Samapayat, everything concludes on the sweetest of sweet notes. And there's nothing sweeter than Madhurya. Purushottam Sri Krishna and Madhuri Radha. So their combination is the sweetest of all combinations, and it ends well and starts well, and it's always well. So there's no real question of devastation in the sattvic ecstasies of Radharani or Krishna for that matter, but they faint, murchita. They faint, and that's fainting is a type of dying momentarily, and you return. It's a pralaya. So this is, at that time, when the lover or beloved has reached the very limit of this prem vikar sima, the limit of transformations in prem vikar sima, then they may faint. And then to assist or protect or to guide or encourage the person, the lover, the beloved, that's a great seva, and that's what the sakhis do. So here, this is a report. Vishnath explains that ke pasa, what's happening, or what's the news, kya samachar. So Uddhava has come, of course, and spent 10 months in Vrindavan, and learning a lot and seeing a lot and experiencing a lot and trying to serve to his best capacity all the Brijavasis in their time of anguish and great separation from Krishna now that he's moved to Mathura. And finally, after 10 months, he returns to Mathura with the news. What happened? How is Radharani? How are the Sakis? How is my mother, Yashoda, and everyone? Subal, Bala, everyone. So then Krishna is asking, when Uddhava returns, he asks, tell me, please. The first question that Krishna asked Uddhava when he returned from Braj and went to Mathura is this: how is Radha? Because she's has the topmost position in his heart. So then he describes what's the situation with Radha. It's called Nayaka Prana Samraksha, protecting the life of the Nayaka, the heroine. So this is the seva that's going on, and then it's being reported. And that what Uddhava is going to describe to Krishna, Mathura, is the seva rendered by a sakhi named Madhavi. A very beautiful name. This is a Madhavi creeper with those beautiful flowers that blossom at night. They're all in the front gate also, mixed in with bougainvillea. And the center gate is all Malati. If you come at night, you won't knock on the door because you'll smell the fragrance of the Malati and you'll faint. Because it's so rich, you know, it's hanging over the outside. Malati. This is Malati going up Radha Krishna's temple and into their window and whatnot. So the Madhavi, she's rendering this service of Nayaka Pranaraksha, Samraksha, to protect her pran, her very life, to prevent her life from leaving her body. So now Uddhava gives the report. Listen, Shyam, Krishna. When your Radhika faints, I'd like to read the Sanskrit as in honor of Sri Rupa Goswami Pad, because he wrote it painstakingly in Sanskrit with all proper poetic meter and perfect alankara and all the other wonderful attributes of perfection in Sanskrit poetry, which we can't really reach, but at least in respect and honor, we should not neglect to read the Sanskrit. As bumbling we may be, we should try our best. That's why Prabhupada, I remember once in Los Angeles, to devotees when they were reading, this was in the early, not so early, 74, and they would read the verse, and they didn't, sometimes they didn't have a blackboard then, Pradyumna would have the printout in front of him of the new verses, and Prabhupada would speak on the newest of the Bhagavatams that he was working on, because they were being printed in L.A. So he would have the printout, and he would read the verse, and everybody would respond. And then, actually, it was on the blackboard also. He would read it. So when he would read the verse, and some devotees would respond, and he would chant, and then they would chant, but not all. And Prabhupada had his big black glasses on, and he looked around. Why is not, as Prabhupada would speak, why is not everyone's chanting this Sanskrit? And then before even starting his class, Prabhupada gave a whole 5-minute talk about the value of Sanskrit, the value of this Devanagari, this Sanskrit language, how powerful it is, how purifying it is, how illuminating and elevating it is just to hear it and chant it. And he probably made it easy for us. He said, this may not be your language. Obviously, you're Americans. Your language is English. But this is the language of Krishna. And this is the language of the Devas and the language of Vyasamuni and Shukadeva. And you may not understand the meaning of the words you're saying. Tvam ayantam katayati mrisha kurvati divya mogram. What does it mean? It's like if I read German or Russian, or I can't even read Russian, but, you know, what does it mean? What is it? But to Germans, it means everything. or Russian. But that's a mundane language for the most part, although it has its origin in Sanskrit, those type of languages. But Prabhupada said, you may not know, of course you don't know the language, but you should chant the verse. Everyone should chant the verse responsively because it's very purifying and it's very important. I'm giving the angle of this, that not only that, what Prabhupada said, it's purifying, it's elevating, we should do it, although it's not our language. It's, you know, Shrimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha, and second canto of Bhagavatam, is told that Shrimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. It's Punya Shravan. Just by hearing the talks of Krishna, Krishna Kata, or hearing Sanskrit describing those pastimes, it's Punya, it's purifying, it's religious, it's dharmic, it promotes our progress toward God. So I'm adding the idea that it's a way of showing respect to the great acharyas and mahajans of our sampradaya by speaking their Sanskrit verses and stumbling through the words, and sometimes we even be able to even chant it with the proper meter when we get a little bit expert, slowly, slowly. Like Chintamani Prakarasad Mashakalpa Vriksha. You know, we gradually everyone becomes a little learned and expert in the actual meters of different verses, right? Malani meter and Tundaka, that Brahma Samhita is called Tundaka Chandas. Tundaka Chandas means Tundaka meter, and like this. So this is, we should not neglect the Sanskrit, and it's very much a lot of painstaking work that devotees do to put the Sanskrit verses in their books. This is text 123. Tamayantam katayanti mrisha kuru vati divyam mugram morcha rambe tava mani mayim darshayat yashu murtim vanye vino dvanti maruta karna radam vidate rakshat yasya katamapitanum maravi yaravendra. Yadavendra, the king of the Yadus, Krishna. Api tanam maravi katam. So this katam api tanam maravi, was spoken by a body, a tanam, by a girl named Madhavi. And she did this to Rakshat Asya, for the purpose of protecting Radha. So Uddhava gave the news to Krishna Mathura, listen, when Radhika faints, one of her girlfriends, Madhavi Gopi, making a false, terrible oath, she tells Radha, in other words, one gopi lies to Radha. She says, listen, Radha, Krishna's coming. So whenever Radha faints, Madhavi Gopi restores Radha's consciousness. She revives her from her swoon of pralaya and sattvic vikara and this great viraha, viyog, separation from Krishna. And Madhavi renders this important seva. And then other times, she brings back Radharani to consciousness when she's Morcha Arambe. Arambe means to begin. Kartika Ramba or whatever. So Morcha Arambe means when she begins to faint or she enters into this fainting state or condition. Other times she shows Radharani a jeweled picture of Krishna. A picture, this is a great art. Even recently in Rajasthan they used to produce paintings with colored sand and jewels. Sometimes you see in Vrindavan, there are different people make paintings of Bihariji, Banki Bihari, then they glue some jewels on it and things like this and put it in a glass frame. It looks very sparkling and attractive, enhances the beauty of the painting. So this is reminiscent of the old days when they made entire paintings out of small, different colored jewels, blue sapphires for Krishna's body. And that was very opulent times. Now we use tempura and acrylic and some chemical paints. But then they actually used jewels, jeweled paintings, Ratna Chitra. Something extraordinary to even think about. They had so many jewels, they would just slap them in their pillars. Nowadays, if you have millions of dollars, you can put one little tiny five-carat sapphire on your finger, yellow sapphire, and you think you're really ahead of the game. And those days, in Dwarka, Krishna's pillars, the pillars and kamba, the stambas and pillars in his palace, they were embedded with yellow sapphires, thousands of them. And they have the quality of Suryakant. Suryakant means the kanti, the effulgence of the sun planet. So at night, they naturally emanate, they're self-effulgent, they emanate light. So the corridors of Krishna's palace in Dwarka were illuminated with yellow sapphire jyoti. It's a pretty beautiful scene, if you like Aishwarya. In Braj, we prefer the twinkling of the stars and the glimmer of the full moon. This is how Krishna passes through the pathways. And when Radharani goes out on Abhisar to meet Krishna and Purnima or Shukla Paksha, she runs along the moon illumined pathways and Prem Gully and Don Gully and Man Gully of Braj. So this is the Madhurya viewpoint of Krishna's Leela. But Dwarka is Aishwarya. So here there's the pillars of Krishna's house are made of lapis lazuli embedded with jewels in Dwarka and gold columns and diamond roofs. But when Krishna's kunja mandirs and the groves and forests and vans of Vrindavan, the pillars are kadamba trees. The pillars of his palace, his Kali mandir, Krishna's Kali mandir, the pillars of his, you know, the pillars means the columns, you know, like these are pillars holding up this veranda. So the pillars of Krishna's Kali mandir are not gold columns embedded with sapphires and emeralds and gold studded, but they're kadamba trees entwined with madhavi latas and malati latas. It's a different Braj's madhurya. So Uddhava is giving this news. This is a condition of your Radhika, of your Nayaka. So in different ways, the Sakis, they render this service by telling lies. Come out of your swoon. Krishna's just now coming. Look, he's at the door. Oh, really? And she wakes up. Where? Oh, he's not here. You were lying to me. But anyway, it revived me. And I thought I was so enthusiastic, anticipating that Krishna was at my door, that I actually saw him in my own Brahm, my Prem Brahm. And he said that, yes, Radhika, come, wake up, come. Wake up, see, look, Krishna's at the door. And then she wakes up and looks, yes, he's there. And she, no, he's not there. When she comes back, you know, in Ardabhaya Chitta, when she's in half, she's unconscious, you know, Antar Chitta, and she comes half conscious and looks at the door. Yes, he's there. And then she comes to Baya Chitta, external conscious. He's not there. Oh, you're lying to me. But then now she's awake at least, and the gopis try to feed her or give her something. And then she may swoon again. So sometimes they show a jeweled picture. See, look. Oh, where's my Krishna? No, he's here. Look. And they put it in front of Radharani's face, like we put pictures in front of dying devotees' faces and put them on either side of their bed. When they're dying, they can look at their beloved Thakur and Thakurani or Guruji. And like as Haridas Thakur, he left this world with the face of his beloved Sri Krishna Chaitanya before him at his last moment. He was looking at the face. So we're looking at the face of Shamsundara, Radharani, or Giridhari. And then we leave our body. Hare Krishna, Radhe Radhe. Choice of mantras. Whichever mantra you chant the most, that's what you'll chant when you die. So if you chant Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, you go to Radha and Krishna. If you chant Radhe Radhe, you go to Radha and Krishna. It's a win-win mantra. Either one, you'll get there. Confirmed. You heard that parrot? That was Radharani's tota. Yes, you're right. So what else do they do? Sometimes when Radharani is sitting in her room. The wind starts blowing in Barsana. And just outside of Radharani's bedroom, there's so many forests, Gevarvan, and so many vans, different directions. So there's one forest where there's many bamboo vans. It's called Vansvan. It's a forest of bamboo trees. And when the wind blows, they kind of rub together. And when those bamboos rub together, they make a rattling sound. When Radharani's sitting in her bedroom, and she hears that those bamboo trees rubbing together, then she immediately thinks of Bansuri, Vamshidhari Krishnamurari. She thinks of Krishnamurari, and she starts to faint. And so then a very clever and quick-witted Manjari, she sees that Radharani is, her attention is going to those bamboo. Oh, that's, what is that sound? Oh, that's the sound of bamboo. Vans. Vansuri. My Shyam plays a Vansuri, and I hear it, and I drop everything and run to him in the middle of the night. Oh, where is my Shyam? Shyam. And then she's hearing that. Then immediately, just before Radharani faints, because this service is called Nayaka Prana Rakshak, Samraksha, to completely protect the Nayaka from swooning and murcha and fainting. So just at that moment, Madhavi Sakhi or some Manjari steps forward and goes like this to Radharani. And when the Sakhi presses Radharani's ears like this, then Radharani can't hear the rubbing of those bamboos. And she says, "Ah." And she's relieved, and Radharani doesn't faint. So that's one thing Uddhava was telling Krishna. Because the rattling of those bamboos, it resembles the sound of your flute. Oh, Yadavendra, in this way, Madhavi Sakhi protects the life of your beloved Radharani. So this is the news that Krishna received from Uddhava after he returned from Braj. This is the what do they call it? Breaking news? This is the breaking news. The correspondent. Here, our Braj correspondent has just arrived from the front lines of the battlefield of love. You know, somebody comes back. I just came back from Iraq or, whatever those countries are. The Ukraine or wherever they're having all these wars, everywhere wars. And I just came back. Well, what's the news? What's happening? Oh, it's like this. Because this is Braj and Krishna wants to know the news. Just like even today, there's so many newspapers only for Delhi, but there's also a newspaper for Braj. Different, I forget, what's it called? Jyoti or something. Dinak Jyoti or Daily Light. Dinak Jyoti. There's some local small newspapers for just Braj Mandal and also just for the Govardhan area. So many newspapers. Because I know they come and say, oh, you want to do some story. I say, what is newspaper you? Oh, we're a newspaper for Govardhan Radhakund Barsa. Oh, this is a very big newspaper. So now Vishwanath gives another meaning to what Madhavi Sakhi said to Radharani to protect her life as a seva. Oh, Sakhi, tell me. Oh, actually, first Radharani speaks. She says, oh, Sakhi, can you tell me how many days have passed since Krishna? She just says this, can you tell me how many days have passed? So again, that's parokshavad, it's indirect speech, indicating some deeper meaning, which the speaker knows and the listener knows. And then maybe someone else doesn't know. Maybe you don't know. Tell me how many days have passed, brackets, since Krishna left me. That's called understood. The meaning is understood. It's implied, implied meaning. When Radha says this, then that's why this is the commentary of Vishwanath on this verse, because that's why Madhavi saying that Krishna's coming. So why is Madhavi saying Krishna's coming? So then Vishwanath, by his prema drishti and the power of his spurtis, he enters into these verses. He enters into the hearts of the Nayaka and Nayak, the hero and the heroine described in the verses. Or he enters into the heart of Krishna on the battlefield, and he enters into the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield, and he gives his commentaries or tikas of Bhagavad Gita, and explains at this juncture, in this verse, Arjuna is saying this, and Krishna is saying this, and all these commentaries. Because Trikalagya means that the great saints and sages like Vishwanath and other Mahajans and self-realized souls like Vyasadeva, etc., they can see the future, Bhavishya Drishti and Purva Drishti. They can see the past and they see the present. So therefore, because Vyasadeva had Bhavishya Drishti, he could see the future. He was thinking, and he writes in the 12th canto, in the future in Kali Yuga, this will happen. The standard of beauty for men will be have long hair and look like women. This will be considered a handsome man if he has long hair and looks like a woman in Kali Yuga. So he predicted New York City in 1966. He predicted the hippies. And he says, in the future, humans will kill their own babies. It's like, that was... Now it's like, yeah, so what, man? It's, my mother did, my grandmother did, everybody does. But 5,000 years ago, that was like unimaginable. It was unimaginable. Unheard of, untalked about, not dreamed about, thought about, and even imagined that a human being would kill their own child at any stage, the day after, or the day before, or a week later, or a month later, or 6 months later. But now it's like, hey, yeah. I remember meet people and say, yeah, I had 3 abortions. And they talk about it like they had their teeth pulled out or something. And it's no one even raises an eyebrow. Yeah, I had 2. Oh, you had 3. Oh. This is Kali Yuga. So Vyasadeva saw that, and he wrote about it in the 12th canto. So what to speak of the rasic janas like Vishwanath? He can see the past. What about, you heard of Ramayana, Valmiki? Valmiki wrote Ramayana in Satyuga. And Ram came in Treta Yuga. So how he wrote it? Because he had Bhavishya Drishti, he saw the future. So Vishwanath, he can see the Leelas by Samadhi. And then he enters the heart and he says, Lalita said this and Radharani said this. So in this particular verse from Ujjalini Nilamani in his Tika, Ananda Chandrika Tika, then Vishwanath is saying, first Radharani, because this dialogue starts off with Uddhava giving the news of what Madhavi Sakhi basically did. How did Madhavi Sakhi is busy protecting the life of your beloved Radharani, Nayaka Samraksha, Nayaka Prana Samraksha. This is the situation. You ask him about Radha, she's dying in separation from you. She's swooning and murchita and fainting at every other moment. She comes to consciousness and again faints. And her sakis are spending all day and night trying to protect her life. But you're her Prananath and you're in Mathura. And your Praneshri is in Vrindavan. What are you doing here? Aidina Diyardanatahe Mataranath Kadava Lokishte. Aloka Kataram, Dayata Brahmiti Kim Karomyaham, Dayata Brahmiti Kim Karomyaham, Kim Karomi means, how can I serve you, what can I do? So this is a verse spoken by Madhavendra Puri, immersed in Radha Bhav, Radha's Virha Bhav. Aidina Diyardanate Mataranath Kadava Lokise. Oh my, you're my Prananath, and now you're the Mathuranath. You've gone to Mathura. Aidina Diyardanate. You're supposed to be compassionate to the fallen, but what about I've fallen from your grace. I'm your beloved Radha, and I've fallen from your darshan. Aidina Diyardanate Mataranath Kadava Lokise. Kada, 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 kabe, kabe, kabe. When will I see you with my eyes? Then, ridiam aloka kataram. with aloka, without seeing you, really I'm kataram. Kataram means it. Without seeing you, I'm not seeing you. My heart is breaking and snapping and just disintegrating in your separation. Dayata, oh merciful, beloved one. Dayata, brahmyati, I'm completely bewildered. Kim karomi, what can I do in this situation? This was the dying words, not dying, but at the time of Tirubhav, when Madhavendra Puri was giving up his body, he was continually reciting this verse and crying rivers of tears and fully identifying with Radha Bhav. So now that Radha is described here in her Vipralamba, separation from Krishna. And first she turns to her Sakhi Madhavi Gopi and says, hey Madhavi, how many days have passed? I will now give up my life. And when Madhavi Gopi hears this, she's thinking, because prana samraksha means to keep someone from killing themselves. Prana means your life. In other words, I'm going to die right now. I'm going to give up my life. No. Let me do everything I can to save you. Do you think it's auspicious for a 14-year-old girl to give up her life? She's like 99. Then okay, go ahead. You've done a full 100 years. Go on, get a new body, a healthy one. So, but this is a terrible shame and great, what a loss. So they do the Sakhis do everything they can to protect some, that's why it says some raksha, some means everything, completely. They do everything under their command and to use, they lie, they give paintings, they do anything, they bring garlands and say, look, Krishna's garland, smell it. And they take the garland, they take the flower garland, they make a garland and they sprinkle kasturi on it and kaphar and chandan and all the different substances, musk and aguru, which is Krishna's natural bodily fragrance. When Krishna wears a rose garland, it smells like roses plus musk, plus kaphar, plus aguru, plus sandalwood, because that's the natural fragrance emanating from his different bodily parts. Krishna's not here. Previously, in the afternoon, if Radharani's feeling separation, they would bring a direct garland from Krishna in Nandagaon. They would just put it up to her nose. Like in our world, if someone faints, they have a little capsule. They break open this capsule, and inside is ammonia gas. And then they put it under their nose, and that gas goes in their nose, and it wakens up their consciousness. It's kept in first aid kits. It's ammonia. Some type of ammonia gas, and it's in an airproof capsule, but it's easy to snap. So then they faint and go like that. So that's how they do over here. But it's part of first aid emergency kits or whatnot. Sometimes people have in their house. But in Krishna and Leela, when Radharani faints, then they bring this garland. They put it, she's unconscious. She's Murchita, lying on a flower bed, or lying on a bed in Yavat, and the Sakhis put the garland under her nose. Sham. Is Sham here? They say, yes, Sham has come. Oh, where? And then they immediately put the garland around her. And she feels the garland. Oh, Sham. And she's going like this, Sham. And she, wait a minute. Hey, this is not Sham. It smells like Sham. You tricked me. This is a mala. This is Sham Prasadi mala. What are you doing? Like this. This is samraksha. Everything they can do, everything in their command is save Radharani. So Vishwanath is commenting on this whole exchange. So Madhavi says, Krishna is coming. Why give up your life? He's coming right now. And then Madhavi takes a great oath, like a vow. She says, I vow to you, Krishna is coming. And then when Radharani hears this, how does she respond to Madhavi Gopi Sevan? Oh, Sakhi, by your taking this vow, you're just cheating me. Because you said this once before that Krishna is coming, and then he didn't come after a long time. Because like what Madhavi Gopi said, oh, no, Radharani, I swear to you. This is like, he's saying here, takes a great oath, which is, it's a little hard to understand what that means, but actually what he's saying. They said, the Gopis, no, I swear to you. Listen, I believe. I promise you. Krishna's actually coming. So Madhavi Gopi said this once before to save Radharani's life and revive her consciousness. And Radharani woke up and became conscious again. And now later, some months later, again, and then now Radharani's remembering, wait a minute, you tricked me once before. You took a vow that Radharani, that Krishna is coming back. But he didn't come after a long time. So then Radharani again starts to faint. Because you lied, he's not coming. Oh, and she faints. Then Madhavi says, no, Madhavi, because that's samraksha. You have to think of so many ways to protect the life. No, he's not coming. No, he's here. And immediately someone hands some Sakir Manjari, hands Madhavi Gopi a painting of Krishna with all jewels in it. It looks just like Krishna. And that painting is made with blue sapphires, so it's effulgent and glossy, like shining like Krishna's body. And there's yellow sapphires for his dhoti, Pitambara dhoti. And then there's black opal for his hair, and you know, his hair is like this, so black opal, and all different, and his eyes, and his whole body is depicted with small jewels of different sizes. So then maybe a full-length painting. So then immediately Madhavi says, no, look, he's here, Krishna's here, look, see. And Radharani's like, oh! And she reaches up to embrace that, what she thinks is Krishna, Shama's come to her, and then she, this is a picture frame. This is a picture frame. This is not Shyam. And again, she swoons. So when Radha's about to faint, Madhavi shows her a jeweled form picture of you. And developing faith that you will actually return to Vrindavan, when the bamboos in the forest suddenly make a sound resembling your murali, Madhavi immediately blocks Radharani's ears with her hands. Because Radharani, when she hears the sound of those bamboos, she thinks it's the sound of your flute calling her for the Rasalila. And then she's about to run off there in madness. But then, not seeing Krishna before her again, Radharani faints. So fearing, that's why Madhavi Sakhi blocked Radharani's ears. Because she was afraid if Radharani hears these bamboo, then she's going to run like mad into the forest. And she won't find Shyam because he's in Mathura. And she'll be so unhappy then. So therefore, this is the insight of the discussion of Madhavi Gopi and Radharani. You can see how clever the gopis and Sakhi Mandris are and how concerned they are to serve Radharani or their Yudheshwari. So that's called protecting. And we have the same idea in this world. Oftentimes, even they have whole, what they call them in cities, I don't know, emergency hotlines or something, that if someone is about to commit suicide due to the intense frustration of life, and then they have some number, if they're contemplating seriously and they're about to step on the top of a building, then they think, oh, there's some number, suicide hotline. I know back in the 70s, early 70s, in big cities in America, there were lots of suicide, as you know. It's very common in the Western world, India also. So that they had, you would call up and then someone would answer the phone, usually young college students, ladies and gentlemen, say hello. You know, this is so, I'm so unhappy, I want to commit suicide. I'm about to jump off the building on the 50th floor. And the first thing I said, where are you? Exactly where are you? Like that. And they try to write down everything. And to literally physically go there. And then, so they immediately write down a piece of paper, and they're trained to speak in such a way to keep her or his attention, keep them on the phone until someone can get there and break down the apartment door or whatever and save them. It's a very wonderful thing, actually. It's so much karuna of human beings trying to help one another. Because the Kali Yuga is such that the Kali Yuga makes this world such that it drives people to suicide by the thousands, by the millions, actually. That's the nature. So there are a group of loving, compassionate, humane people on the planet that want to save and protect the life, samraksha, it's called manush, manush samraksha, protect the human beings, protect my fellow men and women, or try at least extend my ear, my heart, my means to samraksha in any possible way. So this, I know I had some college friends who were working at night, extra money in college to do this work, and they told me how it works. You speak to them. Yes. Oh, okay, Mary. I'm with you, Mary. Don't. It's okay. Life is not that bad. It's really okay. You know, a lot of people love you. I don't even know you, but just by talking to you, and you sound like such a nice person. Don't give up your life. And you're so much value to your life. What kind of thing? What are you doing? Well, I'm studying in college, and there's so many exams, and my boyfriend, and this, that, and whatever. So then he says, No. What are you studying? Well, I want to be a doctor. No, you'll be a great doctor. And And the lady says, you think so? I mean, nobody thinks I'll ever be anything. And everyone always talks negative to me. And no, don't feel like that. You know, you sound like a... You know, and then they have the art of speaking and the art of persuasion and speaking and lovingly and compassionately trying to help another person. And Super Soul gives you all the phrases and the words and everything. Just like a Sankirtan devotee gets all the right things to say to sell a book. So if this is your service to save a soul from suicide, then Krishna Super Soul will give you Tesham Sarata Yuktanam Bhajitam Pratipurvakam Dadami Buddhiyogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. That Krishna, saving another soul, that's what Krishna is the Raki, he's the ultimate protector. Raki Krishna Marake, Mare Krishna Raki Ke, say in Hindi. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. So Krishna is the original Raki, protector. The Sringa Bhagavan Aki Jai. So we pray specifically in the Sringadeva, and so do other people pray in the Sringadeva. It's well known that he's the protector god for Vaishnavas. And so then that's what they do. So this is going on even in this world, protecting your friends. Protecting your friends. Known and unknown. So this is going on in the spiritual world, protecting your friend. Saki Prana Samraksha. And it's quite an art over there. And quite a wonderful seva, as you could hear. It's so full of rasa and so many levels of Krishna's leelas. So many exchanges. So the next seva that is being described... Here is two. This is very wonderful. I like this very much. Probably have to discuss a little bit of this tomorrow also. This is called rebuking or scolding the divine couple. This scolding or rebuking Radha or Krishna, depending on the situation. And who needs a good scolding? Sometimes Radharani needs a good scolding or rebuking. And sometimes Krishna needs a good scolding also. Hey, listen. Listen, Shyam. And they pull his ear and tell him a few good things. This is called Upalamba. Upalamba, and this is in Ujjal Nilamani. In this verse, we start off with scolding Krishna, rebuking Krishna. Upalamba means scolding Krishna. So it's appropriate that he should be scolded. That's our viewpoint as Sakis, the Manjaris. He deserves, like sometimes someone says, you deserve a good beating. You deserve a good beating. Especially your father may tell you that after you do so many nonsense things. But I'm not going to beat you. I'm going to warn you one more time. Don't do this. So who's going to scold Krishna? Who do you think is the best one at scolding Krishna? What's your guess? Oh, how do you know? Alita Saki Ki Jai. So our wonderful Pragalbya, this ferociously contrary left-wing gopi, Lalita, is going to give Krishna the sauce. Scold him. Harer Upalambo. It's called, in Ujjal Nilamani, Saki Prakara in text 120, it says, Harer Upalambo. In other words, Hari gets the sauce. Scolding Hari. It says here, scolding Krishna, but actually the Sanskrit says Harer, which means Hari, who is, of course, Krishna. So she says, Somya, Somya Murtir Upaniya Nirvaram Sharadharka Iva Ragam Agrata Tam Bhajan Sapadi Tiviratam Kuta Putana Ardana Dunoshi Me Sakim. First, Hari, you show yourself to be very Somya. Somya means gentle. So this is a lady's name, Somya, very common feminine name, Somya. She may be a tyrant. She may be a tempest. She may be a hurricane, a tufan, or a tornado, but she's called Somya. And what does Lalita say in jest, tongue in her cheek? She says, oh, Hari, you are a Somya Murti. Do you know Murti means form, vigraha? You are the very embodiment and form of gentleness. You show yourself, you show a form of being very gentle. Just like the autumn season. Because everything is so poetic. Why autumn? Because autumn in India, Sharad season. She says, that's what she says. Somya Murtir Upaniya Nirvaram Sharad. Sharad Arka Iva Ragam Agrata. She says Sharad Arka. Arka means sun. You've heard of Konark. Konark, Lord Chaitanya would go to Konark, the sun temple in Jagannath Puri, about 45 minutes from Puri, north towards Calcutta on the ocean, Konark, Surya Mandir. As Radharani would go to Surya Mandir in the afternoon, sometimes Gauranga would go to Konark in the afternoon, following the same idea, and worship the sun god. And Konark, of course, is one of the sun god, is one of the rulers of Jagannath Puri, interestingly enough. And Radharani's Ishtadev is Suryadev. And her father was a worshipper of Suryadev also. It's a side point. So here, the Arka and Sharad season is just now and a little bit before, is called autumn. The sun is not very hot in the autumn season, and it's not very cold. When you go to November, December, January, the sun is never cold, but the weather becomes cold. So this is, she's saying that you're very gentle, like the sun in the autumn, and you show so much attraction, ragam, sharad arka iva raga agrata. Agrata means prior. In the beginning, you show that you're really attracted to my girlfriend. Wow. And you tell me, Lalita, oh, your girlfriend's so beautiful and so delightful, charming and sweet. I'm very attracted to her. So in the beginning, you're very gentle and somya and like the sun in the autumn season, and you have so much rag and attraction for my Radharani. But then, tvam bhajan sapadi tivra kuta. Tivra means intense. Tivrena bhakti yogena. There's one shloka in the Bhagavatam. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivra means intense. But then immediately you show intense harshness. Tivratam kuta. O killer of Putana. Putana ardhan dunoshi mesakim. Why do you attack my friend? So good Lalita really. First she comes on like in like a needle. Prabhupada uses this expression, it's a Bengali expression. In like a needle, out like a plow. Needle means sui. Sui and hal. In like, how does it go? Under some sui. Inside like a needle, out like a hala. Haladar, plow. So needle is very thin and very pointed like this, but a plow, that you plow the field, is it's a V-shaped piece of metal like this, or wood or whatever. It's a big, wide thing. If it's wood, it's a piece of wood like this and like that. It's a big thing. It's a big piece. It's quite the opposite of a needle. So Lalita Sakhi's coming in like a needle, going out like a plow. She's saying, "Oh, Krishna, you're Soumya Murti, and you're very gentle like the sun, and you show so much affection and attraction to my dear Radhika. But then you become like Putana. And when you're Putana Murti, you're not Soumya Murti, you're Putana Ari. Putana Ari Murti. Ari means the murderer, the killer. Now you become Putana." That's why she says Putana. Why does she say Madhav or Shyam? She says Putana. "Oh, you're Soumya Murti, you're Putana Ari Murti. Now, as you mercilessly killed that poor lady Putana, who came to you as a mother when you were 6 days old, you're mercilessly killing my Radhika." So Krishna is really getting the sauce from Lalita. Really getting chastised. So this is a seva. Does anybody like this service? You like to give people the sauce? You like to scold and rebuke people? Some people do, you know. Oh, you're too shy to admit it. Anyway, if you have that nature, if that's your svabhav, there's a place for you in the spiritual world. There's only one thing you have to do. You have to get free from all greed, anger, lust, and envy. So usually because of anger and envy, we rebuke and scold and chastise people. So you have to take all the envy and greed out, and all that has to be chaito, darpana, marjana, become fully purified, and fill your heart full of bhava and prema, and then get a spiritual body and enter the nitya lila of Krishna. Then you can engage in rebuking and scolding Krishna. Take it all out on Krishna. So there are even some Siddha Mahatmas. They are already situated in their Siddhadeya, in their Gaur Sarup. They're situated in their Gaur Sarup, and they're situated in their Gaur Siddha Sarup, and their Vrindavan Siddha Sarup, as Sakis or Manjaris. And they in their Sadaka Vesh, as Sadakas, they may have Gaur-Nitai deities. There's a famous personality, his name is Vamshidas Babaji. And he had Murtis of Gaur-Nitai. Nimud Murtis. And sometimes he had some very simple cooking paraphernalia for them, some small pots and pans, and maybe just made of aluminum or whatever, there was no aluminum in those days, but whatever, some simple metal, iron or whatever, very simple thing. But somehow he went out to take snan or do madhukari or whatever, and in the Ganga, and some thieves came and stole those few cooking one pot or two, whatever he had for the deity seva, Thakurji seva. And he came back and he said, "Are, what is this? What is this? Gauranga Nitai, you two are thieves, and you let these thieves come in and steal your cooking paraphernalia?" He started scolding them. "What is this?" He said, "You're a thief. You're because you're a thief, then you let these thieves come in and steal your cooking pots. Okay, if that's the way it is, then forget it. I'm not going to cook for you anymore. You just have to fast." So we can't. This is called anusharan and anukaran. So someone reads that in the hagiography, the hagiography of Vamshidas Babaji. Oh, he would chastise his deities, Upalamba, and I'm going to do that to my deities. Oh, Gaur-Nitai. That's called imitation. That's called anukaran. Anukaran means imitation. You read something and you imitate it. Without having the same realization, without having the same adhikar, without having the same bhav, or without being instructed to do that. One is on the platform of Vaidhi sadhana, or even Raganuga sadhana mixed with Vaidhi, or even Raganuga sadhana. He follows the path of Maryada. He follows rules and regulations. Even though there may be so much not spontaneous, but feelings of attachment and rag in his heart as he practices. But it's not that his bhakti is formless and without any niyams or rules and regulations. That, you chastise your deity, so then I'll do that. So that's called anukaran. We're supposed to anusharan. Anusharan means following the footsteps that this devotee was very austere and he really loved his deities, and his deities were everything, and he had nothing else in this world but his deities. So that we can take. So this is that wonderful service of scolding Krishna. And I guess we'll continue more about this tomorrow because it's really exciting. And because we are very attracted to this type of rebuking and scolding service, because why? Because we live in Kali Yuga. This Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel. Even in Hindi they have a phrase, Aaj Vivaha Kal Vivad. Aaj Vivaha. You heard of Vivaha Yajna? Maybe you got married somehow or other. I mean, you got married. So, Aaj Vivaha means today I'm married. And Kal Vivad, actually, it's very easy. You've heard of Mayavad? The word Vad means speech. Vad. There's Nokia Vad. Nokia Vad. There's Nokia Vad means the sound, the ringtone. Samsung Vad means your ringtone. So we say Venovad. You'll read in poetry about Krishna's Venovad. So Vivad means speech that's against. Like that on their marriage, say, oh, I love you, you're so attractive, you're so beautiful. Next day, then, oh, I can't stand you. The way you snored all night, and oh, how can I live with you? Spend the rest of my life with someone. You know, I'll sleep in another room. No, you can't do that. Yes, I will. So this is the second day of marriage. So Aaj Vivaha Kal Vivad. You understand? It means argument. Today we're married, tomorrow we fight. Fight argument. Why? Because it's Kali Yuga. There's no shanti, there's no tolerance, there's no compassion. So therefore, everyone's scolding everyone. And everyone's rebuking everyone in the Kali Yuga. Teachers rebuking students, lovers rebuking lovers, mothers rebuking children. Everyone's yelling and everywhere. If you live in the village, you'll hear your neighbors and so much vivad going on. Middle of the night, hear these high-pitched voices. Wah, 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 wah. You don't know what they're saying. Then you hear this low-pitched, wah, 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 wah. So you know it's just some husband and wife standing on the roof. Whenever they have arguments in the village, they make sure they stand on the roof. In America, if you're going to fight with your wife, you close all the windows, you lock all the doors, and you put pillows under the door because you don't want anyone to hear, your children or anyone to hear that you're arguing with your wife. I mean, I was married, so I have some experience. So... But in India, it's just, everything's the opposite. Of course, every Westerner knows that everything's the opposite in India. Especially in this province. There's many provinces. There's Madhya Pradesh, and there's Himachal Pradesh, and there's so many, Pradesh means province. So this province is called Uttar. Uttar is a direction. Dig means north. North. This province is in the north of India. We are part of North India, Uttar. Bharat, not Dakshin Bharat. Dakshin Bharat means South India. Dakshin Bharat is Uttar, North India. It's obvious. It gets cold. In South India, it's tropical. It's warm. So this is called Uttar Pradesh, the northern province. But actually, the people who live here, they call it Ulta. Ulta Pradesh. Ulta means upside down. Ulta Pradesh. This province is upside down. So as in the Western countries, we don't want, husbands and wives don't want, you're yelling too loud, the neighbors might hear. I don't give it, I don't care. And, no, and then the husband goes like this. It goes like this, you know. So then he tries to keep, you know, because the wife's voice carries for kilometers. You know, especially if she's hot and yelling, her voice goes like 10 kilometers. And a man's voice is so deep, it doesn't go very, it just gets caught in the walls and doesn't go any far. So it sounds like a one-sided argument. Just heard a lady chewing out the husband. You this, that. And the people just hear, boy, the husband's really bad. They don't hear any defense from the husband because his voice is so deep, it gets lost in the pillows and curtains. It doesn't escape the bedroom. But now, Uttar Pradesh, what do they do in Uttar Pradesh? It can be winter time. It's 8 degrees outside. Seems like they actually have a lot of arguments in winter. But it's winter time. I mean, I lived here 27 years. I know what's going on. It's wintertime, 8 degrees. You want to be inside under your razai, which means your, you know, your, whatever you call it. I don't even know what you call it anymore, your razai. Your thick bedspread or whatever you call it, you know, sleeping bag, whatever. It's called razai. So you want to be under there keeping warm under all your blankets and things. So there they are on the roof. And no one pays any attention. People wake up and they think, oh, what's happening? It's a badmash or dacoit. What's going on? They say, oh, that's, you know, Mrs. Gupta and this, that, and this, or whatever. And then, you know, that now it's their turn. And then tomorrow night it'll be our turn. So they go all night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and they're just going, how. And if you're trying to chant japa, because sometimes sadhakas get up early and say, oh man, will you guys shut up? No one's paying, everyone's sleeping except you, and you have to listen to it. And Hare Krishna, yeah, that's tough. So scolding, we'll talk more about scolding and rebuking tomorrow, because it's such a wonderfully exciting service that I'm sure everyone in Kali Yuga will love to perform. There's 16 different categories of sevas that the mandris and sakis perform, but I don't think any, because when you hear about the sevas of the gopis, you become attracted and you think, oh, I want to render that service. You see how Rupa's doing chamara, or someone's massaging Radha Rani's feet, oh, I want to do charan seva, or you may get some heart's attraction, and that's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the basis of rag. You want to have the bhav and mood of certain servants of Krishna and Radha, and you want to do the seva. Otherwise, what's the point of following somebody? If you come and I want to stay here and live with you. Why? Because you're a master painter and a famous artist, and I'm an artist. I want to learn painting. Okay, well, you know, move in or whatever. So that's why, you know, we follow a particular gopi because we want that type of bhav and that type of relationship with Krishna and Radha, and then we want to serve like she serves. So we hear these 16 different categories of sakhi sevas for Radha and Krishna's pleasure. Then we, oh, this, I want to become expert in this one, telling jokes. Or I want to be expert in this one, or whatever. So we'll discuss more about scolding. Because today was scolding Krishna. Tomorrow will be scolding the Nayaka. So now the gopi will get the sauce. And who's going to give the sauce to the gopi? Lalita. So Lalita gives the sauce. She rebukes Krishna and she rebukes Radha or some other sakhi. Because Radharani is very tolerant and very compassionate and very mannerly and respectful to everyone. That's one of Radharani's 26 qualities, is respectful to her seniors. It's called Guru Adara. Guru Adar. Adar. Guru means superior or senior. Elders. Guru Adhara. Ujjala Nilamani Ki. Yeah.